I've known Stella for many, many years because of Al-Anon service here in New Mexico. And I remember Stella telling her story one time many, many years ago at one of our assemblies, because we didn't have conferences here for the first many, many years. And so what we would do is we would combine speakers as if we were at a conference with our area assembly meetings. And I heard Stella tell her story. And I'm not going to go into that, but I will just tell you that Stella has always impressed me. And Stella is always a woman who is so willing to give in any way that she can and to serve in any way that she can. And so please help me welcome Stella W. from Farmington, New Mexico. Thank you for saying yes, Stella.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you and we can see you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Stella W. from Farmington, New Mexico, a grateful member of Al-Anon. I have to tell you, I'm 81 years old, and I've been in Al-Anon 29 years, so it's been a long journey. I was born in Gray Mountain, Arizona, on the Navajo Reservation. It's north of Flagstaff, and very remote area. My parents were sheep herders. And I think when we talk about don't talk, don't trust, I believe it start for me, it's trauma related. And we talked about first was born to parents who experience intergenerational trauma. The loss of identity, the loss of land, the loss of languages, the loss of identity. So it started with many, many losses. And I think Don said it affects our DNA. And so it's intergenerational. It's passed from parents, you know, to me, to my children. And second trauma that I suffered was being put in boarding school. That's separation and maternal child separation. You're put in a foreign environment. From sleeping on sheepskins to a bed frame. And the food was strange, you know. Clothes. We were putting from our traditional clothes into, they were jumpers or, you know, play clothes with those corduroy jeans with flannel shirts. And I think the most traumatic was just being herded around, like, we were marched to the dining room, we were marched to the classrooms, to church, you know. And you didn't have any, the way you were intimate with your mom and dad and brothers and sisters. There was hundreds of us that were just herded around, and just like, you know, being herded into a shower room, you know, you were entirely naked, no privacy. And it kind of reminded me that when I see pictures of the Holocaust, you know, there were just faucets sticking out of the wall, and that was the shower head. You didn't have any, you know, like I say, no privacy, no barriers. So, And the other piece of it is we weren't supposed to talk our native language. We were, we were expected to, coming from a home that only spoke Navajo, suddenly you were, like I say, required to learn another language. And we got, if you were caught speaking Navajo, you got your mouth washed out with soap, or you got your hands whipped. They had those small little switches, and skin and bone, that hurts. So that was pretty traumatic. Being in, like I say, no intimacy, and no, you were pulled from your home, familiar places. The third trauma was losing my father. I was probably about 1944. I was about 6 years old during my first year in boarding school. I guess my father was working on the railroad in Ashford, Arizona, which is west of Flagstaff, Arizona, on Route 66. He was, he had gotten paid and went into town with all of the workers. And then everybody came back except three, my dad and two of his buddies. I guess they were drinking in town and they got beat up and robbed because they had their pay money on them. So he died from those injuries. I don't think that was ever reported, investigated, or anything. But as a child, I remember the first time I learned about my dad's death was from my half-brother. He was probably, I was about six, so he was about 18. He came to the boarding school on a Saturday morning and he wanted to spend time with me. So they had to check you out. And we walked down the main street of Tuba City to the trading posts, and he bought me a bag of tricks and treats, a candy bar. And I remember he was holding my hand. We were walking back and he said to me, "Our dad died." He said, to me, it was just disbelief, My dad wasn't sick, He couldn't possibly be dead. And he said, "He's gone," he said. And after he left me, I remember going into the back into the building, and I sat all by myself in the shower room. They had these long wooden benches. I remember sitting there crying. And nobody to hold you, and nobody to talk to you. So early on, you learn to just suck up the pain. You can't talk about it. And I guess as a child too, the words, no words to, put like, this is painful, this is traumatic. So then from there on, this series of trauma, being in a school environment, you're called names, you're criticized for the way you look or the way you speak. And we talk about bullying. There was a lot of bullying in the boarding schools, the older kids. even though they had us separated, you know, there's the large girls' dormitory and the small girls' dormitory. So, and I think I was born into an alcoholic family, and as those of us from the Native community, you know, alcoholism is rampant, and I guess I read somewhere that 90% of the males will become alcoholics, and I guess they tell us that the woman carries the gene, and so. We had a lot of deaths. Like I said, I'm 81 years old, and I've lost, there were four of us who were of the same father. Three of my brothers and myself were the ones that lost our father. And all three brothers are dead now. One, he was drinking and got hit by on a highway, pedestrian accident. My second brother, who died at 26, that was never solved. He died in north of Española, Escalante Hot Springs. He had gone for the weekend to with people from work. He and his buddy were found dead in the hot springs on a Sunday morning. So, and then my other brother died just 2017. So there's a lot of grief, a lot of loss, a lot of pain. So I guess as I started into recovery, 1991, I believe, I suddenly realized my life, my family was falling apart, even though I, you know, from what all that pain that I sucked up and all the losses and everything, how it affected me, how it impacted my life was, I think we have to really be aware. It's an unconscious thing that's going on in our lives. Like I'm an adult child of an alcoholic. That's the definition that, you know. And because you look grown up on the outside, you know, but inside, you know, your spirit, your soul, that's totally undeveloped, doesn't have any coping skills. There's no maturity of experience. So that's where the hope finally comes in, is, you know, there's hope in recovery. And the program teaches you the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, the courage to accept that this is, we know our thoughts, but we don't share our thoughts. We know our pain, but we don't share that. So finally, there's a safe place to do this in Al-Anon. You know, you start talking about, you know, what your experience and the pain you experience. So there's the awareness, you know, totally from an unconscious point of view to consciousness. You finally can say, this is the truth of what's going on in my life. This is my history. We know our individual history. We know our individual thoughts. We know our pain. And we can start sharing that. And it's hard to figure out, you know, what's truth and what isn't. And because we grow up not being able to share or talk about things, it's hard to own our feelings and own our thoughts. And so, but that's where the strength comes in. When you finally find out that you're powerless over the alcoholic, because I came into Al-Anon. My husband had gone into treatment, and I thought, well, once he's sober, you know, our life is going to be just fine, not realizing that we're all part of the problem. Because of my low self-esteem and feeling of inadequacy, I became a workaholic. And then, of course, codependent, you know, and we discover our character defects. And I was very self-righteous because I had taken on the role unconsciously. I was the hero when we look at the roles that we set in our alcoholic families. Because I'm the oldest also of 12 kids. Being self-righteous, I was a good boss. And I could tell people, you know, my brothers and sisters, the beginning of my taking charge and managing my brothers and sisters. So, but the strength finally comes from, you know, to surrender to God. And that, because you don't trust, developing that intimacy with our higher power, to surrender to a higher power, that is very difficult. But as time went on, I think like Don was sharing with you, God is very, very intimate with me. And he has a way of, you know, setting me straight and telling me what he wants me to do. Sometimes one time I was asked to apply for a director of nursing position. And I said, Lord, maybe you've given me the answer, but I haven't got it. Today's the D-Day for me. And I said, maybe you need to hit me over the head with a board or something. It's not coming through. And there appeared a nameplate at the foot of my bed. I was putting my hose on. It said, Director of Nurses. I said, oh, shit. So that, you know, when the Lord tells you what he wants you to do, even though you don't want to, you say. So we had very many conversations about me and God. I said, you're going to have to knock down the walls of Jericho today. So, and you know the strength of God Almighty. I have to tell myself, I'm talking to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, because I think coming from a small mind, I tend to make God small. I find myself giving him a grocery list, you know. Now this is what I need, you know. And I have to remind myself that, you know, no, this is God Almighty I'm talking to, you know. I have to put him in his place. So that's where the strength comes from, to surrender your will and your life to the care of God, to say, you know, he's holding me in the palm of his hand. And from there, you learn to love yourself. You learn to honor who you are as a child of God. You learn to respect yourself. And then once you have that inward love for yourself and honor for yourself, you start to build relationships, wonderful relationships. So there's the hope. You can recover from this. You can have a full, abundant life that God promised us. And so I retired in 1995, and three things. I stay very active in the church. Two is I have a recovery program. And three is playtime. We do Senior Olympics. We do archery, bowling, shuffleboard, horseshoe, you name it. So I think as a child, because my dad died so young, I didn't have any playtime. It was always work. Go get the sheep, go get wood, go get a bucket of water, you know. It was do, do, do. So in my recovery, I said, this is time to play. So we made time for that. And I think the other piece that's real important is this dysfunction that we come to, it's self-destructive. Self-destructive. And you mean I'm doing this to myself? And the self-destructive, the addictions that we get into, like I said, I became a workaholic. And how that manifested. And my decisions were fear-based. So with you operating from a base of fear, you have, you know, you're almost all your decisions are, you know, controlled by fear. And the other piece is hidden anger. You know, what am I pissed off about? You know, like one time I said, I was angry, pacing up and down my room. I said, my dad, I'm about 32, 30 somewhat years old. I said, Dad, why did you have to croak on me? You know, so, you know, you have to identify those, the anger. And anger turned inward becomes depression. I didn't realize that I had a low chronic depression. I was at a recovery program, and a lady was sharing her story that first night, evening session. And she said, you know, I just felt like dying. And wow, you know, I had never, that word just never penetrated into my heart. And I started crying uncontrollably, just buckets and buckets of tears just started coming out. I didn't know I'd been depressed. No, I didn't know that. I had sucked up so much anger and so much pain that, and the other way, it manifests itself also in illness. This repression of pain. I got skin disease. My hands would break out in blisters. Uh-huh. What's that?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. So anyway, the doctors called it dyshidrosis, but my tears were actually coming out through my hands. So when emotions are not dealt with in a healthy way, they come out in unhealthy way, like ulcers, people that, you know, get ulcers, depression, like I say, those are chronic illnesses. And my skin disease, you know, those kinds of things. So, but I've recovered and I have a full retirement life. And thank God, God took care of me. And my husband is sober, and both of my kids became alcoholics, and they're both sober, and they have their recovery programs. So God does take care of you when you finally are able to trust in him and say that because it's self-destructive, you're the only one that can make the choice for recovery. So thank you.
Thank you, Stella. Thank you so much. You guys want to unmute yourself and give Stella a hand, please?
Thank you, Stella.
Thanks, Stella. If you want to share a little bit with us, stick your hand in the air. I will try to get you. If you can keep it to 1 or 2 minutes, I would appreciate that. We have a lot of people who want to share with us. If not, chat us and we'll find you. Crystal, you want to unmute yourself?
Hi, Crystal, a double winner. Thank you so much for your share, Stella. I'm so grateful to be here, and I'm so thankful that I can hear you and that you are here and able to share your story. So thank you so much. I'm truly grateful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Crystal. Edith.
Hi, family. I'm Edith, our friend. Thank you, Stella, so very much for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us. I am the oldest, and once I came into recovery, I discovered that we are not a glum lot, and that I had, because I had to manage my sisters and brothers, I missed out on my childhood fun. And so I too now have a lot of fun with life. I fly kites, I've swam with dolphins, I climb mountains. We do a lot of things in here. So newcomers, hang out with us and share with us what you want to do. So thank you. And always try to stay happy, because we've gone through a lot of doom and gloom in our life. So thank you, Stella and Dawn, and all those who participated in this conference. Have a great life, all.
Thank you.
Buckaroo? Oh, sorry, do that again. Unmute yourself.
All right.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, Stella, on. Thank you so much. You know, I just, from the moment that you introduced yourself and the time that you had in Al-Anon, I just started tearing up because such courage to have that kind of recovery, like Dawn and other people in our communities, and especially to have that kind of time back then. I can only assume it was few and far between, and I'm so grateful that you guys have walked the path before us, and I just want to say wado. Oh.
Thank you so much. Edith A.
I just shared. Oh, yeah. Could you?
Sorry, Shirley. Getting my stuff confused here. You want to unmute yourself, Shirley?
Yes. Hey. You got me. Yat e Stella.
Yat e.
Yahala yisent njunagon. You presented it very well. Thank you so much. I can relate so much to a lot of what you've said. And I like how you outlined it with the trauma related and intergenerational from our parents. And I think in the Native community, at least in our Navajo community, it is very much so. And being in the boarding school and how much that the separation from our families and going from, I can relate to going from the sheepskin to going to the beds and getting your clothes all stripped off and being deliced and showered in the common shower area and the language. Oh my gosh, that is so, so very true. I can remember being, my mouth washed out with soap because I was speaking my language. And I just, any Native person out there, any families that you have, I truly, truly just encourage you to teach your children the language of your ancestors. That is so, so much important. Because I heard somewhere that you have less than a thousand speakers, the language is gonna die. So any Native people out there, just I encourage you, even non-Native people, and you have languages, keep them. So that I just, and losing your parents, I can so much relate to that too. And I'm so grateful to you for bringing this workshop. I got so much out of it, and I am so thankful for you. Thank you, Stella, and it was good to see you again.
Thank you. Royce.
Hey, good afternoon, my Royce. I'm a grateful alcoholic, and thank you for sharing, Stella. I really appreciate your qualification, and you touched on a lot, and for the most part, you talk about the trauma in school, and it took me back to when I was a child and how I spoke. My parents from the islands, and I used to talk fast, and I used to stutter a lot. I felt ashamed about that, you know. So, a lot of that, you know, made me feel like less than, you know. And I know drinking played a part of that to escape from that feeling. But just talked with a lot, and I can totally, you touched on a lot, and I can totally identify. But I'm so grateful for this program, for the hope, and just to know I'm not alone, and that there's a solution. And you talk about the God and my higher power just helped, just carry me today. With people like you in my life, let me know that I'm not alone. And then I'm just grateful for that. And before I start babbling, I just want to keep it simple by saying thank you for my sobriety. I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Thank you, Royce.
Thank you.
Stella, thank you so much for the courage to do this on Zoom. You were so cute when I spoke to you and said, somebody's coming over to help me with the computer. Good for you. Karen, would you like to unmute?
Bear with me.
Gotcha.
Oh, look at me. I would just like to say, Stella, thank you so much for sharing. I truly enjoyed hearing you share, and I am glad to be here. And that is it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm glad you could join us. Yeah.
Beautiful woman, Stella.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else? Are we missing somebody? No. Okay. Stella, do you have the ability to look at the chat?
How do I do that?
Oh, there is at the bottom of your screen, it should say chat. And if you click on it.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Up, and there's a lot of messages for you saying, thank you, Stella. And
okay.
Scroll up, you can read your messages.
Okay. Thank you. Thank
you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. Thank you, Juanita.
Yeah. Thank you, Juanita.
Stella, thank you. You're always so generous with your time and your love. Thank you. Thank you for your heart. Love
thank
you, dear.
You. Bye. Love you too. Bye.
Thank you so much. Thank you.